Well, welcome to the Pastor's Thoughts and Prayers. I'm going to try to do something a little different for a while, and I've been thinking about it. Rather than my thoughts as a pastor, I thought maybe I would give you the best that I can, God's thoughts through Scripture. I think maybe that would be a better way of doing this little time together, and I'll try to make it short, 5, 6, 7, 8 minutes. It's the same with my Sunday morning message. I'm going to try to keep the message to 20 minutes, not much longer if possible, maybe even a little shorter, because somebody told me one time the brain can only handle as much as the tailbone will tolerate. And that makes sense. Some of my messages over the last few years have been long, and I recognize that, and I just hope and pray that I can do justice to what God has called me to do. But more importantly, we have a biblical mandate to encourage one another. Not be encouraged by Ralphie, but encouraged by God's Word. So this is what I'm going to try to do in the Pastor's Thoughts and Prayers segment of the online service. It's a joy and honor that Phil and I are work together to be able to bring these messages to you, and I pray that you'll be blessed. Well, you know, it's life is challenging, but what about contentment? Sometimes we're nagged with unhappiness. I do too, unfortunately. As a pastor, do I have everything perfect in my life? I get nagged by unhappiness. Things happen. And I think, well, maybe if I only had a better job or more money or better something, then I'd be happy. Well, if you think happiness comes from having more money or material possessions, I think we need to take a closer look at the happy and the unhappy people that we know. You'll find that some of the happiest people in the world are not well off at all. And some of the most miserable people really have all the money they need for necessities and comforts in life. Boy, do we have comforts available to us in this life if we only had more money, huh? Well, this is the question. What's the key to happiness? To have content. No, not contempt, but contentment. That's what Paul talked about in Philippians. He said he had learned to be content regardless of his material well-being because of his ability to cope with life, which comes from having a loving relationship with Jesus Christ, who gave him and us the strength and the power. Because if we think about it, our wealth in life does not bring contentment. But the source of life will empower all of us to be content in whatever situation that we have. In Philippians chapter 4, it gives us some good information. It says in chapter 4, verse 5, let everyone, Paul's talking to people now, let everyone that you are considered in all that you do. And, you've heard me say that many times, come quickly, Lord Jesus, in all that you do, because the Lord is coming soon. Well, that's interesting when you think about it. You go back into the apostles and the disciples and all the stuff that they dealt with, and they had God with them. Now, Paul didn't experience Jesus in the flesh, but he did experience Jesus, and he knew that he was around because before he come to know Christ, he was killing Christians. he knew the scriptures and all that, and then when he got knocked off of his horse on the road to Damascus, and this voice said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he looked and said, who are you? I am Christ, the one that you persecute. And after that, he understood that God loved him so much, and he wanted to use him to spread the gospel message. Well, we're all used to spread the gospel message. Now, I'm blessed that I can study all week long and try to bring the best message that I can to church on Sunday and even here on the little online service known as the Pastor's Thoughts. But as I was mentioning in church on Sunday, you know, the salvation message is probably the one of the most important messages that we can ever get. But, I say the buts, but, I sound like a motorboat, but the buts and ifs in Scripture are very important. But, once we receive Christ, then we need to start growing in grace. Now, most of the people that's been attending Bethel this last year or so, or you know, since COVID especially, are what we call mature Christians. It says in James chapter 5 that if anyone is hurting, call upon the elders of the church. Now, that don't mean preachers. That means mature believers in Christ. So with that, we need to practice our faith talk. And that's what I wanted to close this little segment with, is some thoughts. I have some pastor friends and teachers and different things that I follow and I study. And sometimes they will give me some information, or they'll quicken something in my spirit that I think, yeah, that's what we need to do. We need to practice faith talk. You know, words have meaning. Now, I get in trouble sometimes with my words, not intentionally, but, you know, words do mean something. And Phil especially is really good about letting me know the meanings of words and how I present them sometimes. We're basically thinking on the same lines, but maybe my words project a different thought. And I don't want to do that. I want to try to project the thought that God will honor in everybody's life. You know, we can agree to disagree, but we can still love. Phil and I agree to disagree on a lot of things, but we love Christ. He is the center of all that we do. And so that makes it so important to have a partner in ministry like Phil. Well, faith talk, or practicing faith talk, because we have to be careful about our words. Because our words are deciding tomorrow. Think about that. Our words today is deciding tomorrow. Why that, preacher? Well, every word that we speak today will paint a portrait of faith, both in our minds and in the minds of those around us that we communicate with. Today, the season that we're in seasons of every conversation with faith talk, will tell everyone what you're expecting God to do in your life. And the documentation for this is found in Philippians 4:8, the New Living Translation. Paul's talking, and he says, "Now, dear friends, let me say one more thing as I close this letter." And he's talking about the letter to the church of Philippi. "Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right. Think about things that are pure and lovely and admirable. Think about the things that are excellent and worthy of praise." And then in verse 9, he goes on, he said, "Keep putting into practice all you learned from me and hear and what you saw me doing, and that the God of peace will be with you." Did you know people watch us? They do. They watch us. They might not say anything, but boy, they wonder. So practice is important. I always find it interesting that you hear a lawyer advertise on television or something like, "Well, I'm in practice here at so-and-so address." Or the doctors, when they start out and they got an office, they call it their practice. I think that is really cool when you think about it. But you know, words are so important, because we live in a society where purity is rejected as hopeless, old-fashioned, and profanity, which you hear a lot anymore, even on television and the movies, is acceptable as a normal part of the modern world that we live in. From entertainment to liturgies to the hallways of our school, the line between decency and vulgarity has virtually disappeared. That's what Paul was talking about, that we are to fill our minds with things that are pure and good and noble. And we need to be on guard against the world's assault on the purity of your thoughts. I can't control your thoughts, but I can control my thoughts. And when we get assaults on the purity of our thoughts, we need to fill our minds with what is good. Words and actions will follow suit. Well, I hope and pray that maybe you enjoy thinking about and talking about some of the things that I'd like to do here on the Pastor's Thoughts and Prayers. And tune in. We are so blessed to be able to have this opportunity and to be able to share things and let God's Word be projected out into the things that we call the Internet. But we do also have a lot of people that's on our prayer line. And we want to let them know that we are in a prayer of agreement with them and for them. Sometimes we don't know exactly what they're praying for, but God knows their heart. So if we come into a prayer of agreement, that's almost like lifting up the prayer itself. So God wants us to talk to Him, and we certainly need to talk to God. And that's what praying is all about. You don't need an 800 number. You don't need me to pray a word of intercession. Learn to pray for yourself and have that love relationship with God through the gift of the Holy Spirit and talk to Him. The disciples realized when they were together with Jesus at the end of their time together, especially during breaking of the bread or eating, fellowshipping, Jesus would go off by Himself. And they said, "Lord, why do you go off by yourself when we're done eating and fellowshipping?" And He said, "Well, guys, you know, I am God in the flesh, but I also experience everything like you guys do. I get tired, I get hungry, and I need a time of rest, but more importantly, I need to talk to the Father." Talk to the Father? Can we do that? Yes, Jesus said, use this prayer as a model prayer for all of your prayers to line up with. And the prayer is this: Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, this is old Preacher Ralphie signing off. Hope and pray you have a good day. Let Phil or myself know if the change in this little format is helpful to you. And I hope and pray that you will be able to say, thank you, Jesus, in all that you do.